Ashley's a professional athlete. There's very few people on this earth that can say that and do so at her level consistently. This is a hard question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. What's one of the proudest moments that you have experienced with her father over the course of her career?
The beautiful young woman that she has become. I remember standing up there in the stadium and just watching her interact with fans, especially the little girls, just to see her give back to these little girls. It wasn't that long ago where I took Ashley to the U.S. Women's National Team versus Mexico, and Mia Hamm played, and Abby Wambach, and she was that 8-9-year-old. That is one of my proudest moments, and I get to relive it every time I go to a game.
Well, thanks, Dad. Welcome to another episode of Ditto. Today we have a very, very special guest who is very near and dear to my heart. We have my dad, Barry Hatch. Welcome, Dad.
Welcome.
We're so happy that you can be here today with us. We thought this episode would be perfect because today's episode aligns directly with Father's Day. So who better than
Yay.
The one and only Barry. We're super excited to talk to you today. Matt and I would also like to invite all you listeners to like, subscribe, follow Ditto on Instagram. We post a lot of clips and highlights from all our episodes. So if you want more Ditto, go ahead and follow. Matt, Dad, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Fantastic. It's a great day.
Nice and warm here. It's probably going to be low hundreds in Arizona. Love it.
Are you in Phoenix, Barry, or where are you at in Arizona?
We're out in East Mesa. So just...
Okay. It's all just kind of right there.
Phoenix Metro,
right?
We're just about 25, about 30 minutes out of Phoenix, Sky Harbor Airport area.
So. And it's already just cooking with heat out there in Arizona.
Yeah, you know, it starts off in the 70s, 80s in the morning, but you know, midday... 3 or 4, it's probably in the hundreds. So,
yeah,
I'm okay with that though. Ashley's used to that.
Yeah, I lived in northern Mexico for my mission and it went right up to the border. And so, Arizona, Texas heat, that desert, it was, I think it got to 125 one day, was the hottest it ever got. So hot. We were running from tree to tree, like shade to shade as missionaries.
Yeah, very good underneath of this. So you don't burn. Exactly.
Oh boy. Anyways.
Awesome.
Ashley, how are you? Nobody's asked you how you're doing. How are you?
Great. We got an off day today, which is fun. Been looking forward to this podcast.
Nice.
Excited to talk to Dad and also talk to you and talk all things soccer and life, since Ditto's about both.
Yeah. Speaking of you two, you have Twinner shirts on, do you not?
Yeah, I just noticed that. Nice.
Yes.
Look at that.
Hatch trick. This is my dad's brand, which has kind of evolved over the years with soccer and his coaching. So, Dad, do you want to tell us a little bit about Hatch Trick?
Sure. Yeah. The genesis of how Hatch Trick came to be. And it'll probably tie into some of the questions, Matt, that you may have for me or Ashley. But, kind of the evolution of Hatch Trick came when we lived in California, and all my kids, you know, played sports. They had that desire to play sports. You know, we gave them the opportunity to kind of find their niche or find their happy spot, so to speak, of what they wanted to do, whether it was dance, piano, singing, sports, whatever. And unquestionably, 100% of them all gravitated towards the athletic realm, you know. We didn't push them. We just said, hey, you know, find what you want to do. I come from a big athletic sport family, and my wife is athletic, so it probably has a little bit to do with it. It just maybe in the DNA. but they were doing the rec sports, you know, the soccer, the t-ball and stuff like that. But I remember distinctly having a conversation with Ashley, being my oldest, and she really showed that desire to want to take it to the next level. You know, she had been approached, as had I, when going to her game, rec games, by coaches about wanting her to play club. And I was just, at the time, she was young, Brianna was young, Braxton was my little one. And so I was okay with the rec scene. It was just fun. Saturdays, you get up there and you get your low maintenance, you get your igloo and you get your
orange slices, sliced oranges, yeah.
whatever, and you go have fun on the weekend watching your kids and cheering them on. But she really wanted to, you know, hey, I really want to do this. And so as we were having that conversation, I said, okay, Ashley, I want you to look up three words in the dictionary for me. And I want you to really kind of study these words, so to speak, as an 8, 9, 10-year-old could do. And I said, I want you to look up these three words, and I want you to get back to me tomorrow, and we're going to discuss these three words. And these three words kind of became the pillar of what is now evolving to what Hatch Trick really is. It's beyond just scoring three goals in soccer, scoring three goals mm-hmm. in hockey game, whatever. It kind of encompasses, because scoring three goals in a game is an amazing feat. It's something that is very rare, and it's very exceptional to do. Mm-hmm. You have to be a dominant athlete. You have to, all these things kind of come into place. So these three words that I had Ashley as a little child look up in the dictionary were passion, dedication, and determination. Mm. I said, I want you to look up these three words, sweetheart. And if you seriously want to be a dominant elite athlete, because going that route, as we start to take that path towards the club scene and all that stuff, I mean, I'm happy to do it, but we're all in. Okay, you need to find what you want to do, and we're all in. So look up those three words. And so she did that. I think she was like 9-ish.
Wow.
And so the next day we got together, and she had it written out, and we talked about what does the word passion mean. You know, there's obviously a number of different definitions, but the one we were looking for, you know, that intense love and for something, you know, that you just, that passion. And then dedication, determination. And so I said, you master those three words, okay, those three pillars, you'll be the most dominant elite athlete, or whatever it is you want to be at. If you want to be a pianist, if you want to be an athlete, if you want to be a songwriter, I just felt like passion was the foundation of that. Doesn't mean you can't be good at something without that, but to be elite, to be that next level, to be that dominant force, passion was the groundwork, was that foundation, if you will. And so, and then it leads to dedication and determination. You know, I say, if you're going to go this route, you need to be dedicated. You know, there's going to be training you need to do. Going the rec route is fine, and your mom and I are happy with you going, doing the rec soccer. She did t-ball. My kids did, you know, they did basketball.
We tried dance, but it didn't stick for very long.
It didn't take.
You know,
yeah, it didn't
and
take.
The funny thing is, I was just as proud of her when she was, I remember she was like 4.5, 5 years old on the stage in her little tutu, and I was out there with my huge VHS camera recording her, and I'm like, yeah, proud pop. And I noticed something about Ashley. She did not have a smile on her face.
I didn't.
You know, Ashley always rarely does Ashley not have a smile on her face. So I was like, interesting. She's not having it. But we still did it.
Yeah.
And my wife was really big into dance, and she did all of growing up. And so that's just what we did. But once she started coming to me at 5 and 6, and we got her into t-ball, it just seemed like the floodgates opened and she wanted to do that. So we were doing the rec thing for a few years. And then I think she caught the eye. Well, I know she caught the eye of some of these club coaches and stuff. And they just kept hounding us. Hey, we want, like.
And that was like 9 years old, about that time?
Ish. 8. And I think she was about.
I feel like I started club like a little bit later.
Club was later.
Yeah, but I started playing soccer probably around the age 8, and then probably around like 10 or 11.
Was
then
when you
I started
did,
playing club. There was a moment in time where we were doing rec and club, just because the seasons like overlapped. We started playing club soccer, but our rec season wasn't over. So I was just living the life, going from a rec soccer game to a club soccer game, just scoring lots of goals, having fun.
And that's one thing that, you know, we talk about is, you know, hey, you already committed to your rec team, you know, you're going to finish it. And just whatever you do start, you're going to, you know, you're going to go in all out 100% and finish it. So that's kind of where, kind of how Hatchtrick came about, you know, was just incorporating those three factors or pillars, if you will, in your life, you know, and as a young child, she really pined for being that great athlete, wanting to go to that next level as far as a 9-10 year old can comprehend that. And so I said, okay, great. I said, just, I want you to master those three words and really incorporate the passion, dedication, and determination into your personal life. And whatever it is, whether it's soccer, basketball, being a future mother, whatever it is, you're going to be a great person. And so I just feel like that's what, you know, kind of what Hatchtrick is all about.
Wow, so much to unpack from there.
I know. Well, I feel like we could also take a step back too for our listeners that don't know what a hat trick is. So a hat trick is when you score three goals in the game. Like my dad said, it's a pretty amazing feat. Doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's definitely something to celebrate. The term is mostly used in soccer games and hockey games, my dad kind of coined it Hatchtrick, obviously a play on words of our last name. And it kind of stuck, I feel like, in college when I started scoring hat tricks and just kind of evolved from there. But the PDD, as we call it, started way before the term Hatchtrick was coined. So, that's where these shirts come from.
Good to know.
Yeah.
God, I need one.
I know.
For those that can't see it, they are awesome.
Designed by Barry Hatch himself. Pretty cool.
They're awesome.
I designed them and proud of my design artwork.
Yeah.
Hey, Barry, I have like 10 million questions based off of everything you just said.
Sure.
First, I want to know, because these three words, this PDD, are so interesting, so intriguing for me. What made you pick these words? What in your lived experience felt like passion, dedication, and determination were three of the pillars that we as human beings need to display, we need to integrate into our lives if we want to achieve anything? Because they're so interesting and so powerful. Yeah.
Well, those three words that, you know, came to me pretty easily because, again, I feel that passion is so important. You know, whether it's whatever it is in life you want to be, if you want to be a great salesman, you know, or you want to be a very successful, wealthy person and say sales is your job. Maybe you don't like knocking on doors. Like, for example, my son, he's very passionate about what he does and he's very successful at it. And I've always told the kids when they're younger, success breeds success. And so if you're passionate about something, find something, it has to come from within. Okay, I think the problem in today's time is, you know, especially in the sports arena with parents and kids, I think too many times parents want to inflict their passion, their will on a kid.
100%.
Who may not want that. And so that's why I was really big about letting the kids, I mean, they played almost every score. Like I said, they did tennis. I even bought this big tennis mower. I bought like 200 pressureless balls. Again, I love tennis. Even though I didn't play, just play more for rec. I even took Ashley to Serena Williams and Sharapova in L.A. at the L.A.
Staples
Center.
Was her home. Staples Center in L.A. And we lived there. And so I was just like, I was dead set on her because she literally at 6 years old, I would go to the tennis at Glendora High School and we would play tennis. We would hit the ball back and forth and it was amazing. Like, wow, I would, you know, teach her a little bit what I knew about
should
tennis.
Should have stuck with it.
Rally. Yeah.
Gosh, so dang it. Like,
I was passionate about it. I said, oh, this is it. And this is, we're going there. I'm all in. And, but when we came home from that, I can see the passion wasn't there, that love, that fire in her belly. She had fun. She enjoyed it. But she had just been introduced to soccer. In soccer, she had already been playing t-ball, so softball, baseball. She was doing basketball. She did track. I had her on the side doing tennis. So I felt like her plate was pretty full. But she wanted to do soccer because her friend said, hey, Ashley, you're athletic, you're fast. Yeah, come do soccer. And so she's like, Dad, pull on my shirt. I want to do soccer. I'm like, wow, aren't you doing quite a bit already? But okay, that was my thing. I was determined to let my kids find their pathway, and then I was going to help them along. And so I could see that passion wasn't there in Ashley's eyes and heart for tennis as it was for me. Now, I could have forced her, said, no, we're doing it. But I just, growing up in a sports world, I've seen where that didn't play out so well for kids as they grew up. And so so back to your question. So passion, I just felt, is very important. I really feel. I mean, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be in sports. If you want to, like I said, you want to be a pianist or a violinist, or you want to have a chess player, checkers, but whatever it is, if you're passionate about it, you're going to spend, you're going to, you know, embrace it, and you're going to just dive into it and really do everything you can, research it. Do all the things you can to be the best at it because you love it. You can't wait for that. And so that's why I picked passion as kind of the first word. And then dedication. You can still love something, but if you don't work hard, you don't dedicate your heart, you don't work hard towards it. And that's great. You love something, but where does it get you? Okay, so you have to be dedicated and work hard. And that's behind the scenes. The dedication, I felt, was behind the scenes, you know. You can all go to the soccer game or the football game or the basketball game on the weekend, but it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, behind the scenes, dedicating yourself to that, whatever that vocation is, sport, event is. And then the determination, I felt, was important because now you're in the game, you're working hard. It's the, you know, there's 2 minutes left in the game and you're exhausted. Your legs are on fire. You're out of breath, and the score's tied, and are you just going to crumble? I don't want to do this. Or are you going to have that extra determination over your competitor to hopefully get you that winning goal or that throw that winning touchdown?
Or the mornings you don't want to wake up to go train. That's where the determination can...
Yeah,
and be determined. And the 120-degree heat in Arizona.
Yeah, so that's kind of why I picked those three words. And I wrestled. I come from a family of 13, 12 living.
Oh, wow.
So 9 boys and 4 girls. And so my dad kind of instilled a lot of this into us. You know, so we trained wrestling, wrestled for 13 years, coached it as a high school coach. Wow. My brother wrestled in college and stuff. So wrestling, I felt it was a sport that almost kind of accidentally taught me those principles because – you don't get
wrestlers are that way.
What's that? Yeah, you don't get the claim, the accolades, so to speak,
right,
in high school as a wrestler as you do for the basketball and the football players. And I had buddies that did both, or at least football and wrestling, basketball at the same time. But we were dedicated. We worked hard, and if you wanted to be a dominant wrestler and be a good wrestler, so. Maybe passionate wasn't there so much in times for some people, but it's just it really kind of embraced some of those things. And so that's why I picked those three words, the passion, dedication, determination, because I just felt that it just there's those three pillars, if you will, to help someone be the best that they can be, to be a dominant force, to be very impactful at an elite level.
So amazing and so inspiring. There's something really, really important that I want to revisit, especially for parents. I'm a parent. My kids are almost 7 and 3.5. And so I'm trying not to force too much, but instill some of these type of qualities. Mm-hmm. So if they're interested in baseball or soccer or music or whatever it might be, similarly, I want them to have an experience of passion and dedication and determination. Again, but you said something really important. You essentially, correct me if I'm wrong, waited for Ashley to exude some of these qualities, especially the passion, before you stepped in and said, okay, I see this starting to emerge and display in your aura. If you're serious about this, then dedication and determination have to play a role in this for you to get what you want out of this. Is that a correct assumption?
100% correct. Exactly.
Okay. Why was that important for you to wait, to see her body language, to see what she's saying and her interests, et cetera?
Well, so I had an experience, again, growing up in sports. I had seen it. I'd seen a certain athlete that I grew up with kind of fizzle out. And one of my big, as her and my daughter Brianna and my other kids, they started getting older, and I saw how they were desirous to go to that next level, whatever it is, whether it's to be a varsity player, to be a college player. My biggest fear was burnout, to see the kids lose that fire, that passion. And it's like to do all this work and go this climb this treacherous hill and all these obstacles to overcome, and then to just not want to do it. So I had experience when the kids were little, when they were doing the rec stuff, and kind of when we were getting ready to the transitions, things were starting to kind of evolve that direction. I ran into a girl. She was a bit younger than me. When I was in high school, I went to Temple City High School. I was a senior. She was a freshman. She was a swimmer. And she was a phenomenal swimmer. I mean, she was that athlete in high school where everyone was talking about, because she was like Olympic trials type of caliber. So she was state champion in California. She was looking at, you know, trying out for the Olympics. I think it was in 84. But then I had graduated, and I really didn't hear anything about her. I didn't hear about the Olympics. I love watching the Olympics and everything. And so fast forward, you know, I don't know, 14, 12, 10 years later down the road or whatever it was, I ran into her in Glendora. And she had a little kid out there playing soccer. And I said, hey, how you doing? And I said, hey, so we just got talking. And you remember me? She goes, oh, yeah, you were older. And I said, hey, so you living out here now? She said, yes. I said, so whatever happened with your swimming career? You know, you were amazing. I remember watching you in high school. And I said, your kids all know how great you were? And she goes, my kids don't even know that I swam. And I said,
really?
Really? And it struck me. And I'm like, why is that? She goes, after my freshman year, I think it was her freshman sophomore year, I didn't touch a pool. I don't think I jumped into a pool again for like, matter of fact, I haven't stepped to a pool for like 10 years. It was devastating. And I said, what happened? She goes, I got so burnt out. I was so fried that I didn't want to see a swimming pool again for years. And so my kids don't know anything about my swimming accolades and accomplishments and career. You know, they're out here playing soccer and t-ball. I think it was at a t-ball game or something. And I'm like, wow. And so that had a very lasting impact on me. You know, I had seen some stuff like that, but that was kind of real time, like, wow. And so what I kind of gleaned from that was, you know, the burnout is so real. And someone who was a very elite swimmer, and everyone has different reasons why they don't want to do it anymore. And maybe someone else could have handled that. But for her psyche and for her mental strength or whatever, dedication, it was too much. And I don't know what went on in her personal life and how she was trained and pushed. But I just took into it that she didn't say she was pushed so much that maybe she didn't want it 100%. Maybe she liked it 70% or 80%, but not 110%. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, kind of leads back to the passion thing. And maybe some kids won't ever get that 110%, and that's okay. And that's why it was important to allow the kids to come to me and with something that they really wanted to do, like Ashley did. You know, and my daughter McKenna, bless her heart, she's my youngest, and she's a mother. She is a phenomenal mother. And she incorporated these attributes. She played in high school. She was a varsity soccer player. She had great accomplishments. And she came up to me a little bit later in life and said, hey, Dad, I want to go the club route. I want to do this. And so I said, okay. So we sat down. McKenna was she's more of my social butterfly. And she's a great climber. She's kind of more of an extreme athlete. She likes to do these extreme sports. But I think she saw her sisters and even her brother excel these sports. So she was doing it. She probably still played the rec league a little longer. She did a little bit of clubbish type of stuff. And she goes, I really want to go to the next level. So I said, okay. So she approached me. I remember we were in Gilbert, Arizona at the time. We were in our backyard pool and on our floaties, and we're talking. I said, okay, so this is what it takes. I'm going to approach it the same way I approached it to Ashley and Brandon and Braxy. If you want to be elite, the passion, the dedication, the determination, this is what I will give. I will give 110% to be your dad / put on my hat as your trainer to push you. Okay. But this is what I expect out of you. And it was, she started showing some signs of that passion, but I could tell it wasn't 100% there. And I said, you're going to have to give up things. Ashley can attest to it. Ashley had to give up a lot of dances and parties and fun events that would have stood in the way of her training and her games and sporting events where she had to travel. And I told McKenna, I said, you're going to have to miss some of those things. It's just the reality. If you really want to be at that next level. And I said, I want you to think. What I do is I tell the kids, I want to give them 24 hours to think about it. Just like when Ashley thought about certain things we could talk about later on, and even the past. I said, I want you to sleep on it. I want you to think about it, kind of mull it over, and let's get back to it tomorrow. Well, bless McKenna's heart, she thought of it because she was that social butterfly.
she didn't need 24 hours.
Yeah, I thought about it, Dad, after like about 20 minutes in the pool somewhere. I goes, I think I'll stay with doing the rec thing. So she still played soccer. She still played in high school. And that's what I told her. I said, you can still have fun. We'll still support
that's
you.
That's awesome.
But you're not, your expectations, so you're not expected to do those things. If you want to go do it, absolutely, I'll support you. But it's not like, hey, I'm going to be that dominant elite player because I need to do these things by dedication and determination. I still like you to have those qualities, but it wasn't as intense. So, and so she went a different direction, but she understood what she needed and what the outcome would be if she did do one or the other. So,
wow, that's awesome. There's so much good stuff in there. Ashley, I need to ask you, based off of all of these wonderful things that he's mentioned, you know, how has he said something just like 2 minutes ago, my dad / trainer hat, like, how has he in your mind balanced that for you? Because sometimes I know that role can be hard, especially from the kid's point of view. Like, are you going to be my dad right now, or is this my coach? Because if you're my coach, I'm going to say something different at this time.
Yeah.
So how has that balance from your perspective, Ashley, happened over the years, and how has he done such a phenomenal job at it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And my dad's always done a really good job at this. And I think it comes down to just that open communication. He's done such a good job from day one of telling us that his door is always open. He wants us to be able to talk to him about anything. And as we've evolved, like he said, through my soccer career, from just being fun or trying lots of different sports and enjoying lots of different sports, to then transitioning into, okay, soccer is my sport. Soccer is a sport I want to excel at. I'm going to give it my all. I need your help as my dad. As that transition happened, I feel like he did a really good job of communicating. And we've definitely had our fair share of miscommunications of where, like, I sometimes will think that my value comes from soccer. And he's done a good job of helping me see that. It's like, no, first and foremost, like, you're my daughter. You're a daughter of God. We had a really good foundation of our faith as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints growing up. And I feel like having that foundation really helped with switching on, you know, the coach hat and the dad hat. And obviously the dad hat is my favorite and the most important, but there were definitely times where I needed the coach hat, especially as I feel like my temperament as a child was very shy, and I needed a little bit of a gentle nudge or a gentle push of like, hey, you're actually really good at this, and I think you can go somewhere. Let me help you. Let me show you. And when I saw his coaching hat through that lens, I was really excited, and I was like, okay, like, I can do this. A story that comes to mind where I feel like kind of meshes the two together really well was when I first started playing rec soccer. I can't remember, Dad, you probably would remember the name of my first ever rec soccer team. Do you remember?
Robbins.
The Robbins. See, I knew he'd remember. He doesn't forget anything. he remembers goals that I don't remember. Like, it's ingrained in his brain. But anyway, so it was awesome. My first ever rec season. And like he said, I had gotten invited out by some friends. And so I didn't really know what I was doing. I remember my first practice. I was like, I don't like this. I thought we could run around and do whatever we want. But I started at the age of 8. So it was a little bit later than most people start playing soccer. And we had signed up, and I came home from training, and I was like, Dad, I don't like this sport. Like, mostly because it's difficult and I didn't know what I was doing. But he was like, hey, you know, like, we committed to do this. You have to finish out the season. And I was like, okay. So as the season went on, and as he spent like individual time with me after trainings, like helping me get better, I think the most fun part about this journey was my dad didn't know much about soccer either. So we were both kind of learning together, which was kind of a unique experience. I remember him staying up late, like looking on YouTube, like how to play soccer, which you would never know.
What's a hat trick?
Yeah.
Which you would never know now because he knows everything about soccer and is a soccer guru. But I feel like we got to go through that process together. And as the season went on, I got better and better. And I started enjoying the game a lot more. And I was kind of playing all over the field, like left wing, right wing, forward, midfield, defense, just like kind of learning the game. And my very last game, I scored a goal for the first time ever. And it was the very last game of the season. And I just remember like feeling so excited. And I was like, I can't believe I did that. And we were driving home, and I vividly remember like my dad in the front seat, me in the back seat. We're driving home. I'm drinking my Capri Sun, and I was just so excited. I was on cloud nine. I was like, Dad, I can't believe I scored a goal. And as we were driving, like, he didn't miss a beat. He just turned around. He's like, I can, and you're going to score a lot more. And like, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, you're right. Like, my dad believes I can do more. Like, I was just like, wow, I made it. I scored a goal in my first season of rec. And I feel like that was, that moment really encompasses how he did a really good job of, you know, meshing the supportive coach, but also the dad that like had this ultimate belief in me, even when I didn't at times. And I think it all comes down to just having that open communication, lifting me up when I needed to be lifted up, pushing me when I needed to be pushed. And just kind of like he said earlier, like recognizing that like spark in my eyes and being like, okay, she wants to play soccer, I'm going to help her. Or just recognizing, you know, when I was maybe a little too shy or scared that I needed a gentle push, or when I was too hard on myself and I needed a hug. And so I think just having that relationship as a father to daughter, and also spending time outside of soccer, was really, really important. And I think he did an excellent job of meshing the two. And anytime I look back at my childhood, we just have so many fond memories of me and him, especially my sister Bree. I think having a sister that was so close to me, we were able to go through it together. It was just a lot of fun. And I feel like having those pillars and having that balance of being a dad, but because he was a dad, he knew me more than anyone else and better than anyone else, sometimes better than myself. So he knew when to be able to push me or when to be able to just remind me that he loves me and there's more important things in soccer. So yeah, he's done a really good job.
Thank you. Yeah. I love it. These values, I think they're just imperative for any kind of sustained success in anything you do in life, whether it's these three values or something else. Something, Barry, that I've seen in Ashley over the last 5 years or so that we've been communicating is her faith intertwined within these values. Oh, no. Ashley just mentioned it. It's a huge part of her life. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, Ashley, here.
So for you as the father figure, with this particular pillar of faith, and whether it's intertwined in those three or it's a completely separate value, I don't think is the point, but it's a value. Why was that important for you to instill a sense of something bigger than yourself, especially when you're in things like club soccer, major D1 college soccer, professional soccer? It's easy in theory to get lost in the world and forget about your faith, forget about spirituality, religion, et cetera.
Yeah.
So for you as the father, how have you have you integrated that and helped her with that?
Well, one of the words that kind of comes to mind when you ask that question, it kind of encompasses that a little bit, is integrity. Okay. And you say, how does integrity have to do with faith? One of the things that, and actually I remember this, that I would do with my kids is I set time when they were very young, and I would set time, we would do it once a month, maybe once a quarter, and I set time where we would have interviews with my children, okay? And I had like five topics that we would pull up. We would try to set 20 minutes, but sometimes it would go 30 minutes or longer. And out of the kids, I remember they were waiting down the hall. Okay,
next.
Are you ready for me? Yes.
Is it my
turn? Wow. Could they study? And so, could they study for these five topics? Like, did you give them to them beforehand so they could, like, prep and be ready?
No.
Not really?
Once we knew the first time, then it was the same thing.
Gotcha.
We would have discussions, but we would set goals. And I would write them down. Okay? And so one of the topics was educational. Okay? We would talk about what are educational goals. You know, do you want to get all A's? Do you want to be a great student? Do you want to, you know, whatever it is, you want to, you know, do the best you can in school. Could be a very simple when they're young. Okay, just study hard, understand the work, and be a good student, you know. And so it would be educational, topic. We would talk about, even if it was minute, a little, we'd talk financial. So, okay, I want you to set some goals to try and put a little money away each month or each week or each year and have a certain amount of money in your account by the, how much you want to have. Oh, $100 by the time, whatever. Okay, so just to kind of get the wheels turning at an early age. We would talk, you know, spiritual. So kind of to your question, and obviously being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, religion, mm-hmm. And being Christian is very important to me and my wife and my children and their upbringing. But we would let them, you know, make their choices, as you'll see, maybe if the conversation goes that direction, on some of the things that they did growing up. But I wanted to make sure we instilled in them the importance of believing in a Savior, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and loving Him and so forth. And so we would talk about spiritual goals and ideals, you know, reading your scriptures, whether it be the Bible. We also believe in another book of scripture called the Book of Mormon. So I would say, okay, can you read in the scriptures once a week, once a day, read a chapter, read a verse, whatever it is. And then I would also, you know, at times I would set a goal for them to, we would have our church leaders, you know, do like every 6 months, they have like a conference. And I remember saying, okay, maybe listen to a conference talk or to a half a conference talk. And they were younger kids and youth. And so I would engage this conversation to where they would in agreement with it. I was never, okay, you're going to do this. You're doing this. It's like, I'm rolled around. And so it was like that mutual, okay, yeah, I'm in agreement with that. And sometimes, oh, I don't know if I could do that. Okay, well then scratch it out. We wouldn't do that. So we were on the same page and we were in agreement with that. And then the last, which I really probably spent the most time
which is
on,
our favorite.
Which was the kid's favorite, was the sports, kind of athletics.
Sport goals.
/ sports.
Yeah.
And sport goals. And so we'd talk about, okay, how many goals do you want to score? Okay, how much training do you do? Juggling. We'd talk about, okay, touches on the ball, because soccer was the direction they were going. And so that was the fifth one, was we'd talk about sports. And we'd write these down. And we would come and meet again. You know, I think it was every quarter. We'd have these interviews. Sometimes it was more than that, but and then we'd see how we are, where we stood, and we would write down, you know, when she was in the track, Brad was in the track. Okay, what's your time going to be in the 400 or the 100 hurdles or what have you, 300 hurdles and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'd set those goals, and then that's where again the PDD would come in. Okay, your dedication. You're going to have to train to do these things. You're going to have to juggle the ball. Your goal is to get 500 juggles. And then once they accomplish that, okay, what do you want next? We're going to do 1,000 juggles. And so those five things, so we'd sit down and talk about those. So it wasn't just sports. It was educational. And spiritual was a big one. We would talk about the spiritual realm of things, the aspect of their lives, and how important it was. And they would see it through my wife and I as well. You know, we were, adamant about, attending church on Sundays, because that's the day that we worship on the Sabbath day. And so as much as they saw my path, I was, Ashley can attest, very passionate about sports and athletics.
Yes.
But I had to really, really rein it in, and not be like, no, this is what you're going to do. In fact, there was times where maybe things were going when they're a little, where I was approved of, and I gave them the opportunity. Okay, well, it's either this or that. Maybe they were kind of falling off the path a little bit of that true dedication, determination. And I'm the type where if I'm giving it 110, and that's another thing. That was the agreement we made when they were little kids. I had to write it when we finally went to the club route. When we finally gave in, it was like at a year, would you say, Ashley, where they kept prodding and probing us that this was the club coaches, and I was okay. I was copacetic with doing the rec stuff, but we finally went the club direction. And we had a good, honest conversation with especially my two older ones because they were older, and I said, if we're going this route, with the club route, this is what I expect from you. And they were, of course, they're little kids. Yeah. I said, no. This isn't a party. This is a lot more work than you realize. Remember, passion, dedication, determination. Well, this really, embraces that to the next level. And I said, this is what I expect out of you. Boom, 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 X, Y, Z. Okay? And this is what you'll get out of me. I said, but it's got to be a two-way street. If I'm going to do 110%, I'm going to be pushing you. I'm going to put my dad hat on, coach hat on. And you can't get upset. You can't say, "Oh, Dad, you're my dad." No, I said, no. I really instilled in them. Remember, I said, when we're out there on the training field, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, or soccer, it was really soccer. That's. I said, I'm putting on my trainer hat, and you can look at me at that time as not Dad. I'm your trainer, okay? And I really instilled that in them. And I said, if we're going to go this club route, I am trainer Hatch, and I'm going to push you. And you guys agree that you're going to let me push you. If you're not, then we're going to stay in the rec level and have fun. I'll still support you. And we can go to a pool party, eat oranges on the way home, and drink your Capri Sun. And so, again, I wrote out the contract. So I put it on paper, and I had them sign it. And I had them sleep on it. They went. And so
we signed our life away. Little did we know, signed our life away.
I was praying. I was like, oh, please, I hope you want to, because I was so passionate. But I had to kind of have my poker face on and be like, so what is it, my child? The next day, 24 hours later. So when they were, when they both came, and and it's funny thing is, it has to be a 10 out of a 10. That's what that passion is. I'll ask people sometimes, on different occasions, if they want to do something. I say, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at doing this? Where's your commitment level? And if someone says at 8 or 9, that's not working for me. It has to be an emphatic 10. And they came to me with an emphatic 10. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And so anyhow, we got off a little topic. We're talking about spiritual goals. But so we kind of embraced all that with my conversations with the girls and my son. I tried to get them well-rounded at an early age to know that sports are important and they're fun and they can be serious as you get older, but it's not the only thing. It's only 1/5, I feel, in this conversation of the importance.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a backseat way down to the spiritual. And so I wanted to make sure that they understood the importance of the spiritual aspect and the goals in their lives. Mm-hmm. So I'll try to make sure that was important for them.
Yeah. Barry, I don't know if you've seen or heard the motivation episode yet of Ditto. I know you've probably heard it at least 5 times now. You probably have it memorized.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah.
We talked about 3 components that, according to this theory, it's called self-determination theory. One is able to experience motivation and sustain motivation over the long call. So those 3 pillars for self-determination theory are competence, relatedness, and autonomy. You have, on some level, expressed all 3 of those in the experience of parenting, at least from my perspective, parenting your kids, you've given them autonomy, you allowed them to experience it, then you related to them as a coach, as a dad, and then allowed them to experience a sense of competence. I mean, your first words after Ashley scored her first goal were, what were they, Ashley, again? I knew it.
Yeah, or, I said,
I'm not surprised.
I can believe it.
I can believe it. That is so important for so many reasons from a leadership perspective, but especially from a parent's perspective. And so keep doing your reading on DC and Ryan's self-determination theory, because I think it's working.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, and just along that, not just for me, but I think it's so important. I know it's so important for parents to reaffirm positivity to their kids. I just think it can be lost so much. And I've seen kids it would break my heart to see a kid, whether they were a good athlete or not, just feel dejected because a parent or a loved one just injected negativity. Yeah, totally. You know, they're kids, you know. And that I wanted to make sure that as much as maybe as my passion to not let it consume me too much, because I'm at a different level as an adult and their kids, you know, to try and let their passion come up and then kind of, you know, massage it however works for them. But just to make sure that you're always injecting positivity into the kids, that reinforcing it, you know, that, hey, even if they lost a game, or they missed a PK. I remember actually missing a PK when she was a little girl, and it stung. She was in the bunk bed and she was in tears.
My life was over.
She was just felt. remember that she was just dejected, and I remember going, and I just, we had a conversation. I don't know if you remember the conversation, but I remember some of the conversation, and it was basically, hey, sweetheart, don't worry about it. Some of the greatest soccer players, whether it's Messi or Ronaldo or whatever, or basketball player, miss free throws and miss penalty kicks. Yeah. And I said, how does it feel? Does it sting? And she goes, oh, I hate the feeling. I said, remember that. Remember how that feels, okay? And do everything you can in your power to be the best PK taker, whether it's, you know, looking at working on different techniques. And so the next time you stand in front of that bot, you know, in the box in front of the goal, that confidence is there, and you'll be the best penalty kick taker. Will you miss one, or will you get blocked? Sure, it's going to happen, but the percentage of you making them are going to go higher because you're going to be better. So just remember that, how that sting feels, and you're like, I'm going to do everything I can to not have that feeling again. It's just trying to learn from it, you know, and not make, you know, bring a person down. So
yeah, I think Dad, you always did a really good job growing up of like taking advantage of those moments of whether it was failure or something didn't go right, or even if something did go right, and like teaching life lessons in those moments. Because like I remember that conversation very vividly. Maybe this conversation I remember more than you, but I do remember after that penalty miss, I came off and I was really sad and I was crying. And of course you said those things that you just shared, but you also took that moment to be like, what were you thinking as you approached that penalty? Like, what were you saying to yourself in your head? And I was like, I was telling myself not to shoot it over, duh. And you were like, well, like, that's probably why you shot it over, because that's what you were thinking about and that's what you were telling yourself. And I think that was one of the first moments where I was like, oh, like, what I'm telling myself in my head, like, really truly does matter. And so like it was that moment where it shifted of like, okay, like, hit the corner, or I'm going to say things to myself that are going to be more beneficial and more helpful. So like, stay low, keep my body over the ball. And I feel like that was something that you did a really good job of instilling in Bree and I, is like, it's okay to make mistakes, and mistakes are how we learn. And so sometimes I got really annoyed by this, and you know that I did, but we'd be out across the street practicing at the park, and we would make a mistake, and we knew we made a mistake, but instead of just like brushing on by it, you'd stop us. You're like, okay, like, what do you think? Like, how do you think you can correct this mistake? And we would basically like teach ourselves how to like fix a mistake. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that process, doing it over and over and over, just instilled in me this habit and this routine of like self-correcting in a way that I was able to just do it like on the fly, even in a game. Like, okay, I missed that pass because my ankle wasn't locked, or the ball went over the net because I didn't hit it in the center. I hit it a little too low. And it just becomes so, it became so habitual of like how to correct my mistakes or to fix my mistakes and to improve and move on. And I feel like that's something that you did a really good job of. And it wouldn't have happened if we didn't trust you and we didn't go through those processes and didn't do those things that were kind of like sometimes felt nitpicky and were kind of annoying at times, especially when I'm like, okay, I know I made a mistake and I know how to fix it. I'll do fine next time. But yeah, I vividly remember that conversation. I feel like that was a turning point for me in my career at such a young age of like, hey, my thoughts do matter and what I'm telling myself really does matter. So
yeah,
that was a fun one.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, I'm glad that that helped out. Well, it's kind of like what I used to kind of along those lines, what I used to tell the children a lot was a saying that they know me from is, it's the little things. Yep. What's that?
It's like, do you want me to guess it before you say it?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. It's the little things that make a big difference. And it's those little touches. It's turning your ankle square, you know, turning your hip, opening up your hip, all the way, not 90 or 80%, just those little things. Even when she played T-ball, I'd tell her to squish the ball, pivot her foot when she swung the bat, you know, and, put her right shoulder underneath her chin when she goes to throw the ball as a catcher, you know, not just go straight, you know. So just those little things make a big difference. And so I think that's would help her and just in life in general, but, you know, in sports especially.
I think she's mentioned that saying to me before.
Probably many times.
And over the years. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've embodied it, Ashley.
Said it too many times to her. But
yeah, but I feel like it plays into that autonomy that you were talking about, Matt. As I feel like
you provide
your athlete with the tools to be able to help themselves and to improve, and instead of them relying on you for the correction or, hey, like, can you tell me how to get better? It's like, oh, like, I already know these tools. I can help myself get better. So I think that plays right into the autonomy that we've talked about.
Yeah, it's so important, especially along those lines of motivation and passion, in your words, right, Barry? Yeah. I'm going to switch gears just slightly. This is going to be airing around Father's Day, right? So I have to ask some kind of lovey-dovey questions here. Mm-hmm. I would be remiss. Coming from a father's perspective, again, I have two kids. They're young. The unconditional love component of life for me was really on display as soon as I had kids. I love my spouse to death. Mindy, if you're listening, you're the greatest. I love you very much. But kids, the love you have for your kids is just different.
Yeah.
And so for you, Barry, over the years, Ashley's a professional athlete. There's very few people on this earth that can say that and do so at her level consistently, as you are well aware. What are some of the, or maybe one, this is a hard question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. What's one of the proudest moments that you have experienced from your perspective as her father in her career, over the course of her career?
Well, there's a lot of problem. You know, I would say,
I know,
I'll pull out a couple, you know, isolated moments in a minute.
Yeah.
But I think just in general, the most proud moment or the most proud thing that I can look at for my daughter is just the beautiful young woman that she has become and that she is. Just her grace, her gratitude, her humility, her kindness, her love for people, her passion to help other people, just you know, her integrity, just everything about her as a young woman. That's what makes me the most proud. I remember going to her college games at BYU and the stands. And then, of course, you know, as a pro at the Audi Field and the Washington Spirit. And I remember Ashley asked one time, she goes, you know, when you're out there, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ashley, you want, after a game and you're with other people and cameras and report, you want to be around your family.
Yep.
And I remember standing up there in the stadium and just watching her interact with fans, and especially the little girls. And I honestly had probably as much joy watching that as I did her score goals and win the game. Just to see her give back to these little girls. Because it wasn't that long ago where I took Ashley to the U.S. Women's National Team versus Mexico, and Mia Hamm played, and Abby Wambach, and she was that 8-9-year-old. And so to see her joy, and now she's out there at college level, D1 level, or at the pro level, or the national team level, and these little girls, that is one of my proudest moments. And I get to relive it every time I go to a game. And so I remember saying, Dad, why don't you come down right away? She's like,
I know, I'm like, where are you guys?
And I'm like, and I'm going, I get you after the game, 30, 40 minutes, an hour after the game, we go out to dinner, we spend time, we go back to your hotel, and I can hug you, we can spend the next couple hours with you the whole next day. These people only get a few seconds or a few minutes with you, and I want to embrace, I want to enjoy, I want to soak it all up. That's one, one moment that I get to enjoy because of the type of woman she is. So that's what makes me the most proud of just in general of the type of woman that she is.
Oh, thanks, Dad. Yeah.
You're welcome. A couple of isolated incidences that really made me proud, if you allow me.
Please.
One, and I just remember this, as we were starting to go on that journey of going to the next level and that transitioning and being an elite athlete, even as a 9-10-year-old or 8 or whatever, she was on a club team, again, right as she was transitioning to, no, sorry, she was on a rec team transitioning to club. She was on a team called the Gulls. And I'm like, I really don't like the Gulls. And so how it worked out at the rec level where we lived in Glendora, California, was if they rated a player from 1 to 10, and as they had the draft, if you, the last of the previous year, if you were 8 or 9 or 10, that each team, the new year, would get a number 10, number 10, and tell, okay, then you get 8. Well, she was kind of unknown. Well, it was her third year, I think, in soccer. And so she did really well her second year. She was like scoring goals left and right. So she was a 10. So she went on a team with a lot of newbies, and it wasn't the best team.
Yeah.
And so the coach was a nice guy. And I remember after their fourth or fifth loss in a row, the coach, you know, he would pull them to the side and give them their Capri Suns and their leftover oranges and say, okay, hey, guys, this is great, you know, and great job out there. And it's good. I mean, yeah. And our, you know, we're having fun, right? We're having fun out there. And I remember Ashley, as a 9-year-old could do, looks up to me and she goes, she shakes, nods her head. She goes, Dad, losing isn't fun. And that stuck with me. And I was proud of that. Because it's okay to want to win. And I feel sometimes it can get lost in the participation trophy mentality.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to want to win. Are you going to lose certain games? Are you going to lose things? Lose a job? Yes, things are going to happen, but it's okay to win. And I just love that mentality that she had, that I want to win. I don't like losing, Dad. So that was a proud moment for me and her. Another one, when she was playing club, her and my other daughter Brianna were on this club, and they, again, when we started going to the club route, I said, the dedication, the determination need to be so strong, because we don't do the Sunday thing. And so, are you guys willing to, you know, they may not want you because you guys don't want to play Sunday, or do you guys feel like you should play on Sunday? And I let them make that final determination. They knew where their mom and dad stood at, you know, playing on Sunday. We were dedicated and made sure that we focused on church, and we dedicated Sunday to be to worship the Savior. And so they were all in. No, we're going to do the club route. We're not going to do Sunday. I said, okay, well, you're just so you understand, club is expensive. It's travel. And it's on Saturdays and Sundays. A lot of the championship games on Sundays. So you need to be that much better than your competitor if you're going to, the coaches are going to keep you 50% of the time when it comes to game time. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that, I think, really stuck. So they really pushed themselves to be that much better than their competition to justify the coaches keeping them on the team. But, and this happened for, and the coaches were, I mean, it was fun. The coaches were like, hey, we'll go to church. We'll bring the whole team to church with you. If you
they tried all play. The tricks. Said, well, Sunday fun day. Yeah, we can go to church and, said, hey, and then go play.
And I'm like, hey, you know, you need to ask the girls. You know, that's their, that's what they set their sights on. And that's, you know, they're kind of set in stone with that. But there came a point in time when they were in high school or just going in high school on their club team. And at the end of the season, the coach texted me, or he emailed me and said, hey, and I think he had gotten some pressure from some of the other parents and kids and stuff, and said, basically, hey, going into this new year, I know that I agreed to allow Ashley and Brandon to play without the Sunday thing. I said, but I'm going to have to change my stance on that, and they're going to need to play on Sundays because we need them on Sundays. If not, we're going to have to kick them off the team. You know, it's pretty harsh, you know, to, you know, basically say, hey, you're going to kick you off the team. And so I, you know, I sat on it and I approached the girls and, you know, 100% unanimously, they were, you know, hey, I didn't even have to wait 24 hours to get back to the guy just later on that afternoon. I just sent them a nice cordial email and just say, hey, thank you, you know, for all you've done for the girls. But the girls are going to have to, you know, denied play and this being kicked off the team is that's what it is. And so they were basically kicked off the team for choosing to stand up for what they believed in. And I've always told the kids to believe in yourself, have that belief, a strong conviction, whatever it is. And so that I was proud of them as much as I would love to be at championship games. And I'm not saying anybody who plays on Sunday is a bad person, and, you know, quite the contrary. It's just everyone's got to make up their own choice and how they feel they want to do. And Ashley has a lot of friends, even at the club level, even and especially in Utah, that play on Sunday, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's important to them, and that's fine. This just was my daughter's both their strong conviction, and so I was proud of them wanting to stand up for that. And so that was another proud moment. For my daughter, for me.
Yeah, I think one thing that is very interesting about that story, I just lost my train of thought because I was thinking about it, every time I feel like throughout our career, especially the Sunday thing, that we hit kind of like maybe a speed bump or like a little hurdle that someone would see as an obstacle or a good excuse to maybe not excel or not play at the next level. I feel like, Dad, you did a really good job of presenting it more as like an opportunity to just be better or to an opportunity to do something that someone else hasn't done before. And I feel like that mindset has also been instilled in me, like not only in soccer, but just in life as well. Like we see the world may see this non-Sunday soccer playing as a hurdle to becoming a elite soccer player, but we just see it as our story. This is how we're gonna do it, and it doesn't matter that no one else has done this before. We're gonna pave our own way, and we're gonna figure out how to do this. And as I look back on my career, I'm so grateful for those times that I got to go to church with my family and didn't play soccer on Sunday, because as my career grew and developed, I had to start playing on Sundays professionally, or when I traveled for soccer games professionally and lived far away, like moved to North Carolina, moved to Australia, moved to DC. I didn't get to spend a lot of time with my family that most people get to at the age that I was at. And so I cherish those times and I cherish all those Sundays and the lessons that were learned, especially at such an impressionable age when I was younger, because like that built my foundation, my testimony as a member of the church, but also just my identity as a daughter of God. And I feel like that's the stuff that's more important, that's carried me on throughout my career than maybe playing in ODP and playing on youth national teams. And don't get me wrong, those things are very important. Could my career look differently? Maybe, but I'm really happy with, you know, the person that I've become and what I've been able to accomplish, all while, you know, putting my faith first and foremost and like valuing different things. And so I think you did a really good job of instilling, like, these are opportunities, not hurdles. And I'm really grateful for you for that. So thank you.
Hi, Kirsten. Hi, Jake.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Hey, but I have one last question for you, Barry.
Yeah.
This might be the most important one.
Uh-oh.
If Ashley would have chosen the University of Utah, would you have still supported her soccer career?
I would have disowned her. No,
he answered it correctly.
Absolutely.
She would have changed the program at the U if she would have gone. We had Jen on the show, and I'm a huge BYU soccer fan. I am a Utah alum, and so that's why I ask. I'm kidding, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So well, funny knows. Story. You know, my little brother is very athletic. He's just a phenomenal quarterback, shortstop, and basketball player in Southern California. Played on a, you know, state championship team, or I think they went to the finals. But just anyway, long story short, he played, he was a backup quarterback behind Alex Smith at University of Utah.
Mm. Yeah.
So, when Alex went to the 49ers, I was so pumped. I was a big Utah Ute fan and thinking that Bruce Hatch was going to be the next. And he decided to take his own path and go a different direction and just finish his education, and football just was in the cards. I think he got a little bit of that burnout syndrome is what I felt. But I think he could have been the next greatest. So there's a little bit of Utah fan there. Absolutely, without question. My brother playing there, I was a big Utah fan. But obviously with Ashley and Brianna playing there.
Yeah, we all bleed blue BYU now, so.
Yeah.
Our blood was
so don't bring it up anymore.
yeah. Remember some Utah stories, my brother there.
Yeah, well, we watched his games growing up more than we watched BYU, just because we were watching Uncle Bruce play, which is always really fun. Yeah. So
that's where the true passion and determination and dedication came from, is from watching Utah football growing up.
Yeah.
That's where it came from. Am I wrong?
Yeah, we could twist it that way.
I guess you could interpret that. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yes.
Okay. Last question before I cut out again. Ashley, what role has your dad played in your career and helped you get to where you are today?
Wow. Really ending this with a
big
banger
one.
Of a question. Honestly,
yep, big one.
I feel like I have my dad to thank for so many things. I think being able to see in me, you know, the skill, the passion, the desire, but also just to love me enough to help me grow into the woman that I am today and to teach me so many valuable life lessons, soccer lessons. It's just honestly priceless, and I'm super grateful for him and the father that he has been and that he continues to be. And I feel like we've been able to go through all these fun different stages together, and I'm just excited to continue to grow in our father-daughter relationship. I'm looking forward to one day being a mother and being able to share all the lessons that he's taught me to my children, and being able to have him come out to my kids' soccer games or sporting events or whatever they may be. But I truly can't thank him enough. I mean, like I said, everything that I know and the lessons that I've learned and the values that I had have all come from him, and obviously my mom as well. And those will be passed on to my kids, and they've influenced and impacted my life for good. And so It's hard to really put into words that the role that he's played in my life and my career, but I'm just super grateful for you, Dad, and thank you so much for everything.
Cool. Love you. Thank you, sir.
Love you too. Great question, Matt.
Wow. Barry, just want to say thank you again and happy Father's Day to you and every father out there. You are a wonderful example of what it means to be a father. So thank you.
Thank you for that. Happy Father's Day to you too.
Thanks, Dad, for making him the time. Really appreciate you sharing all your knowledge and experiences with us. It's been really fun to reminisce on all the good times and just reflect on our relationship together. It's been really fun, and I think it's very fitting for Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to you, Dad, and also to you, Matt, and all the fathers out there.
We're grateful
for you all. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, happy Father's Day.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us on this special Father's Day episode. Hope to see you next time on Ditto.